Talk to you a little bit about peace today, Bible peace. The very last thing we talked about of being sons of God or children of God is we need to be at peace. And that peace comes from God. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. Bible peace. What do we know about Bible peace? Now, I'm not talking about peace as men might look at it. There is peace out in the world. We don't want to be at war. We want to be at peace. So we talk about peace that way. Or peace in our society so that we can operate the way we should. Peace now with regard to those who are trying to fight this virus. We want to be at peace so that we'll not be arguing or fighting with each other so that we can defeat the enemy. But the Bible also talks about peace. And we're talking about the peace that we have that comes from what the Bible has to say. In 2 Peter 1 verse 2, the Apostle Peter in speaking to Christ said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." So what he says is, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. When we have a knowledge of God, we learn about peace. I mentioned that this morning. We was talking about Acts 2. And those people saying, what must we do? And Peter told them what to do. And obviously, they gladly received the word because they wanted to be at peace. In Luke, the 19th chapter, and in verse 41, as we look at this, we find out that peace can be destroyed by a lack of knowledge or no knowledge at all. If we don't have any knowledge of God, we're not going to have any peace. That's what Peter was talking about. Peace be multiplied to you because you have knowledge of God. In Luke 19, verses 41 through 44, Jesus Christ is approaching Jerusalem. You remember the setting here, and he looks upon the city and he said, "If you had only known what would come upon you, what would bring you peace," he says. But now it's hidden from your eyes. If they had only had the knowledge, and it's not, folks, that they could not have had the knowledge. They could have. But they rejected the knowledge. And so when Jerusalem rejected the knowledge, he says the days are going to come when your enemies will encircle you and they'll not leave one stone upon another. That's verse 44. Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. In other words, if you had only known, you could be at peace. So the idea here is peace is destroyed by no knowledge or a lack of knowledge. We want to be careful we don't have Bible knowledge about peace. Because if we don't have that peace, we're not going to recognize what God has done for us and the peace that we can have. Well, where does peace come from? Well, of course, it comes from the Godhead. But let's talk about peace coming from Christ himself. He came to this earth to bring peace. In Acts 10, verse 36, we're told that the word which God sent to the children of Israel was preaching peace. The word was preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So when Jesus Christ came, the whole purpose is to preach peace, to have a peace that we each one can have. In relationship to the Godhead, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In John 14, in verse 27, again, the Word of God was sent to the children of Israel. The Word of God was sent to the children of Israel. And that peace comes from Christ. He said, "Peace I leave you." We've already seen that came to the children of Israel. Jesus is talking to that children of Israel here, and he says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you." Not as the world would talk about peace, but we're talking about Bible peace. And that's what he's talking about, peace that comes from God. "Let your heart not be troubled, neither be afraid." So when we have a peace with the Lord, and he's talking about, I'm going to give you peace and you don't have to be troubled anymore. Your heart does not have to be worrying anymore. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be afraid. I hear brethren sometimes, "Afraid I'm not going to go to heaven." Why? Why are you afraid? If we have the knowledge of God, as we looked at a while ago, peace comes from a knowledge of God. If we have the knowledge of God, what it takes to go to heaven, we ought not to be afraid if we believe what God says. We ought to recognize that we can have a peace of God that passes all understanding. We ought to recognize that we know Him. Because as John said, we keep His commandments. In Acts 10 and verse 36, again we looked at the word was sent to the children of Israel preaching peace through Jesus Christ. So we can have peace through Jesus Christ. But look at the last ones on the screen. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 13. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said, Jesus Christ is our peace. Paul's talking, really, through Jesus Christ here, but Jesus Christ is the one who's inspiring him to speak it through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our peace, he said, and has broken down the middle wall of partition, thus making peace. Well, peace, what he's talking about here, is that which separated the Jew and Gentile, the middle wall. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were not. We talked about that a little bit in our lesson this morning, the last point that we made about we're to be sons of peace. But the reason we do is because Christ gives us peace. So if we want Bible peace, we have to get it from Christ, don't we? That's where it has to come from. But in order to be at peace, we have to have a spiritual mind. We talked about, this goes right along with what we were talking about this morning. The sons of God are not worldly. Their mind is not set on things that are above, but on things that are upon this earth. They're set on things that are above, but not on things that are upon this earth. That's where our mind is to be set. But if we're going to have this Bible peace we're talking about, it requires a spiritual mind. That's what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3, as I just quoted. Set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seating at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are below. So set your mind there. The first part of it was seek those things that are above. Set your mind, seek those things. Set your mind there, but the only way you can set your mind there is to seek those things. You've got to want them. You have to have a desire for them. Jesus said on one occasion, if anyone desires to know my will, he shall know of the teaching. If he desires, he's going to seek it, he's going to find it. That's what causes us to study the Word of God, folks. We have a desire. We don't want to handle the Word of God wrongly. We want to handle it right. So we're going to study, or we're going to give diligence to present ourselves approved on it. We're going to seek to have that. That's what Paul was telling Timothy he had to have. So peace requires a spiritual mind. In Romans 8 verse 6, Paul reminded people to be spiritually minded is to have a life and is also to have peace. That spiritually mindedness is life and peace. In other words, when you're spiritually minded, your life is revolving around Jesus Christ, but you also have the peace that comes from the Lord, the peace that he said, I'll give you. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Peter put it like this, you're living stones. He's speaking to Christians here, those that were scattered abroad, and he said, you're living stones. You're built up a spiritual house. So as children of God, we're spiritual. We're not material anymore. I realize we live in a material universe. And while we're here, we have to deal with it. I understand that. But our thinking is that we are to be spiritual. We've set our mind on things that are above. We're seeking the things that are above. That's what we're doing. We're seeking those things. And so we're built up a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, he said, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So peace requires a spiritual mind, and when we have it, we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example of that. Some people might say that doesn't have anything to do with worship, but it does when we pray. When we pray, we're offering up ourselves unto the Lord. It is a sacrifice we're making. We pray to the Lord. Lord, we say, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, lead me not in temptation. Lord, forgive me of my sins. That's just one example of that, but partaking of the Lord's Supper is a spiritual sacrifice. Because this bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior, but we're not literally eating the body of Christ. He's not literally here. And this fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed upon the cross by Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we do that, it's a spiritual thing that we're doing. It's not a material thing, although there are material elements in it. But it's not a material thing, it's a spiritual thing, and we're offering up our sacrifice. In fact, Paul said in Romans 12 that we ought to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. So that's what we do. We do this for the Lord. because we want to be at peace with the Lord. That's what we were talking about this morning. A son of God is one who seeks peace. He wants to have peace with the Lord. But it can only come when we have a right relationship with God. It doesn't come if we don't have the right relationship. And again, this goes right along with what we were talking about earlier this morning. Peace results, that is, the peace that comes from God comes because we have a relationship with God, but it has to be a right relationship. In Romans 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Christians again, those who made up the church at Rome. He said, to all you who are in Rome. So he's writing to the Romans here. But he calls them beloved of God. So they're children of God. He also says, you're called to be saints, so they're saints of God. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all of you who are in Rome, you're beloved of God. Therefore, you can have peace and grace from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 14, verse 17, the apostle said to them again, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not all these material things. I'll tell you what now, in the material realm, we have to eat and drink, don't we? If we don't drink, we'll die. We have to have water. We have to drink something. And if we don't eat, we'll shrivel up and die also. So we understand that in the material realm. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God. That relationship we have in a spiritual sense with God our Father. He said the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Some people thought it was. They were thinking fleshly instead of spiritually. But it's not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, there's another part of the Godhead, you see. I said if we have spiritual peace, if we have a peace, a Bible peace, we have peace with God, peace with Jesus Christ, and peace with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have peace with the Godhead. We're in a right relationship with God. The word God just simply means deity. So we're in right relationship with deity, and that would be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, we have that one on the screen also. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. There's some things you can do to have peace. We can look at the life of the Apostle Paul and learn something about how to have Bible peace. If we receive it, if we listen to it, if we heard it, and if we saw him do it, we can do the same thing. Paul said, I'm your example to walk in my steps. So we can walk in the steps of the Lord. Because he said, for me to live is Christ. The life that I now live, I live in faith. I serve the Christ, he said to the Romans. So he said, do these things, the things you've seen in me. In our Bible class this morning, we noticed that the Apostle Paul did all the things that he did so that people could be saved. The love of Christ compelled him to do these kind of things, and he was not peddling the gospel. But in everything he did, he wanted people to be saved because he understood what the terror of the Lord is. So he said, I persuade men. What do you do, Paul? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, I'm telling you that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. And I'm telling you, you can learn by listening to what I have to say, and you can see what I've done. And if you receive it and do these things, the God of peace will be with you. That's what he said in Philippians 4 and verse 9. Well, I want that peace, don't you? The God of peace. I want the peace that comes from deity, from God. I could eat all the food that's possible to have. I could gain everything in this world materially that I could possibly want and not have any peace at all. Now, I might enjoy all the money I have and might like living on Knob Hill and driving that big new Cadillac or Mercedes or whatever it is. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong driving a Cadillac or Mercedes. But I could desire to have all those material things. And Jesus said, if you gain all of those things and lose your soul, what profit is there in that? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What Jesus is talking about is there's no peace in those things. Why? Well, a car gets older, gets scratches on it, wears out. And if we can afford to by that time, we try to get another one. The house continually has to have things done. You have to take care of it. Do it now Pay me now or pay me later. We all understand that. Hot water heater, the day you get into it, you've been taking showers every day and you get into it and turn it on, it's as cold as ice. What's wrong? Hot water heater went out. Now, 15, 20 years ago, you could have put one in for about $400. Had it put in today, it's going to cost you about $1,200 or $1,500. I know that because we recently had to put one in. That's what it costs. So things wear out. Material things wear out. So let's not put our faith, the peace that we might have when everything is working fine, but eventually it may not, including our bodies. They get older too and wear out. But there's a peace of God that passes all understanding. And so Paul says, listen to what I have to say and the God of peace will be with you. And what I'm talking about, folks, when you have that kind of Bible peace, you have serenity of mind. Serenity of mind. You can go to bed at night and put your head down on your pillow, and if something happens that your heart stops, you quit breathing, and you don't wake up materially, you wake up spiritually before God. There's a serenity of mind. You go to bed at night not worrying if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You know you're going to because you've done what God would have you to do. Paul is telling the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 5. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, he says. And look at this. Now go on down to verse 7, verses 5, 6, and 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I've talked to people in the faith called the Assembly of God, Church of God. And I'll ask them if they think they're saved, and they'll point to this and they'll hit it. I know I'm saved because I feel it right here. Well, granted, you might feel some things, especially if you hit it hard enough. You might feel some things in it. But it is true, folks. We can feel it up here. We can feel it up here. I don't think we feel it here. That thing's going to quit working someday. And if that's the only place we had peace, then it's gone when it quits working. But this spirit we have, the spirit that's inside us, the inner spirit, including the mind, what we know is that we have a peace with God. And that's what Paul's talking about. You can have a peace of God. Make your request known to God. You can do that in prayer and supplication. It's wonderful, folks, that we can pray to God. It's just a wonderful thing that God has done for us to let us say, hey, now I know he doesn't say it that way. But God speaks to James and he said, now James, you can pray to me anytime you want to. Now what the Hebrew writer said, we can draw near with boldness under the throne of grace that he may receive grace and may have mercy and may find mercy to help us in time of need. We can always do that. We can pray to God. What a wonderful blessing it is. And that produces serenity. I can always take my anxiety to the Lord. Cast your anxiety upon Him or cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's what Peter said. Look at Hebrews 10 verses 16 and 17. Paul's talking about it. This is the covenant, he says, that I will make with them after those days. In other words, he's talking about the new covenant. He's not talking about the Old Testament. After those days are over, I'm going to make a new covenant, says the Lord. And I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds will I remember no more. You think about that. I don't care what kind of a life I lived before I was baptized into Christ. That life is over. Now that doesn't mean I can't remember it. And it doesn't mean that there may be some people that try to use it against me. Like they did against Saul or Paul. But the fact is, I don't have to be concerned about that anymore. All those sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm raised to walk in a new life, a life to follow Jesus Christ, and that's serenity of mind. Like the passage we looked at a while ago, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. The child of God doesn't have to do any of those things because the sins and the lawless deeds that we may have committed at one time, I will remember no more. You think about that. How is that expressed by Peter in Acts 3? Those sins are blotted out. They're not remembered against us anymore. Now, human beings might, And we might have to pay the consequences for some of them in the human life. But God Almighty has already forgiven us of them. I think sometimes when we read about people in prison and they come to a knowledge of God, somebody's been teaching them something. They've been reading the Bible. And even though they may have murdered somebody like Saul did, they realize that they're in prison because that's the consequence of the sin, of what they've done in society. But the fact is, they know that God now has forgiven them that sin, and even they might be put to death for what they did in society, they're going to have spiritual life from the day that they obey God. Their spiritual life is such that they know they're going to go home and be with God. Many years ago, folks, many years ago, I was called to by some parents. Marty didn't go with me. They just asked me to go. And I went to the prison of that state, and they were about to electrocute a person. I really didn't want to go. I didn't want to see that. But because of these members of the church, and because they were close, and because they needed somebody to be there, I went with them. They had a son, folks, that had murdered several people. He had done things he ought not to do. And he was about to be electrocuted. I'll never forget when they pulled that little curtain by, and there he was. And had those things on it, had that thing on his head and all that kind of thing. And they asked him if he had any last words. He said, "I'm going home to be with God." Well, I don't know. I'm not his judge. I don't know whether he had done all the things God tells him to do or not. But I know one thing. If he had, he was going home to be with God. He was paying materially for what he had done. Physically, he was paying for what he had done. But spiritually, if he had done everything God wanted him to do, his sins were forgiven. That's what it means to have serenity of mind. And I thought about that as I was right here. The parents, there were tears, and I was tearing, and everybody in there was aghast that this person is fixing to be put to death. And yet he was there on that gurney, and he was absolutely at peace. How in the world could that be? Well, he had serenity of mind. Now, I'm going to leave it up to God to judge him in that. I'm just talking about what I saw. Just talking about what I saw. But you cannot be at peace with God. You cannot have serenity of mind without faith in God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Hebrew writer said, "Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him." You have the New King James says, impossible to please him. For it said, "He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If you come to God, you must believe. Not maybe you can, or perhaps it'd be good, but you must believe. And then he's going to be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what that faith causes you to do. And that's what Paul was talking about. He said, "The love of Christ compels me to do this." You see, he was diligently seeking the Lord. So what must we do? If we're going to have this Bible peace, what must we do? We've been talking about a lot of things. But in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer said, "Pursue peace with all people." We've already seen the passage said, "Seek peace." This one says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, with which no one will see the Lord." Pursue it. Go after it. Pursue holiness. Pursue peace with God. That's why Paul said, "I forget the things that are behind." He's telling the Philippians, forget all those things that you may have done or are behind you, and stretch forward to the things that are before, unto the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pursue peace and holiness. Because if you don't do that, you cannot see the Lord. And what Jesus said about that in Matthew 11? "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We could just substitute the word peace there, I guess. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the question is, for each one of us to ask ourselves. Are we at peace with God? Are we at peace with God? And the question is, are we at peace? Or putting it another way, do we have peace with God? Either way you want to put it. And you know the answer to that question. You know if there's something in your life that's keeping you to be without peace with God, then if there is, do something about it. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you of it. And be at peace tonight when you go to bed. Be at peace. Don't let it be hanging over you. If it's something you need to deal with in an assembly like this, then deal with it. When you have done everything the Lord asks you to do that you know to do, you can have peace. Let's be sure we do. And if I can help you to gain that peace, I'd like to.